The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're broadcasting to you live from our Edstone studios here in beautiful and sunny England. It has been for the last few days, so we're edging into the spring months, which is always just a gorgeous time of year here in the West Midlands. Last night in Portland, Oregon, my father finished up the two-day pack event there with an estimated crowd of about 150 people. Quite a few signed up for the Bible study, the follow-up Bible study, which takes place next weekend. So hopefully in a later program, we'll have more facts and figures as they come in. They finished the event, of course, late at night on these occasions, and we're about 6 hours ahead of them. And so they're hopefully getting some good rest or just now waking up, I guess, the next day. But we hope and pray that that will produce some really good fruit in the weeks and the months ahead. Well, on yesterday's broadcast, the one about the Mueller probe, and now that it's over, will the real traitors be held to account? You can listen to that and all of our radio broadcasts. You can listen to them live, like some do right now, or you can get the podcast later, have that downloaded to your phone, or listen online at SoundCloud or with some other device and or app of some sort. In any event, referring back to that show, the last bit of it, we talked at the end about what was happening there right at the last few months of the Obama administration. Kimberly Strassel, I referred to her column yesterday, but she said at the conclusion of her piece that with the special counsel probe at an end, it's time to go back to the beginning. It's time to go back to the beginning, to the documents that explain its origin. Only then will Americans have the full story of the Russian collusion narrative. So if it was all a hoax, in other words, if there was no truth to this narrative that was just firmly entrenched in the, well, among the media, in the deep state, the Obama administration, the Democrats, pretty much everyone who hates Donald Trump, they've all believed this now for going on 3 years. And since there's no truth to it now, well, many are calling for investigations into how this narrative got started in the first place. James Freeman over at the Wall Street Journal, he said the Mueller report confirms that the Obama administration, without evidence, note that, without evidence, turned the surveillance powers of the federal government against the presidential campaign of the party out of power, or their political opponent, in other words. This is the Obama administration using the powerful surveillance powers of the federal government to spy on political opponents. Where is Barack Obama, by the way? You've seen some clips. I'll play some for you later from John Brennan. Even Ben Rhodes is making an appearance now. James Clapper, he's out there. But no Barack Obama. Why aren't reporters curious about what Obama was ordering in those final months? You can piece enough together, and it paints a compelling picture of just how involved he was. I mentioned that clip yesterday in October of 2016 where President Obama, after reports of Russian meddling, he did nothing about this for 7 years. More than that. And right at the last, he said, look, there's no serious person that would suggest that Russia could ever rig an American election. It just can't happen. He said, there's no evidence There's no evidence that has happened in the past, even after he had gotten these reports from his own intel community, even after the DNC had been hacked over the summer. He says there was no evidence. So how did we go from no evidence on October 18th, 2016, to just weeks later, not only did Russia meddle, but they actually helped Donald Trump to win. You know the timeline. Mr. Trump wins the presidency November 8th, 2016. And then a month later, according to the Washington Post, there's this secret. This is from their headline. The secret CIA assessment says that Russia was trying to help Trump win the White House. And who was over the CIA at the time? That would be John Brennan. The same player that was out there pushing for the dossier, pushing for media outlets to run with the dossier, the contents of the dossier. Remember the first line of the dirty dossier? This fake document paid for by Hillary Clinton's campaign? The very first line, I've mentioned this before, Russian regime has been cultivating, supporting, and assisting Trump for at least 5 years. So there's the headline in the Washington Post. It's sprung from the dossier, the dirty dossier. A secret CIA assessment. Now there's all kinds of evidence. Less than 2 months earlier, President Barack Obama himself said there was no evidence. Now there's not only evidence of meddling. Well, don't you know they were helping Trump to win? This article cites testimony from anonymous officials at the CIA. That's John Brennan's department. At the time, of course, they're anonymous officials. Another article here, the Washington Post. It says, the CIA, actually this is the same one, December 9th, 2016. The CIA has concluded in a secret assessment that Russia intervened in 2016 election to help Donald Trump win the presidency rather than just to undermine confidence in the U.S. electoral system. So this was breaking news. To them, this was breaking news because before that point, there was a pretty good consensus, except for Barack Obama. Of course, he said there was no evidence. But others said, look, they're trying to undermine the confidence of our electoral system, and they've been doing it for decades. Now they helped Donald Trump to win. The New York Times very quickly followed in line after the Washington Post. And that same day, December 9th, 2016, that's when President Obama then ordered the full review into Russian meddling into the election. That's in December 9th. Then at the end of the year, well, this would have just been about a week later, President Obama gave his much-anticipated end-of-the-year press conference when he talked about just how careful he was to meddle in any investigations. This is clip 15.
One thing that I have done is to be pretty scrupulous about not wading into investigation decisions or prosecution decisions or decisions not to prosecute. I have tried to be really strict in my own behavior about preserving the independence of law enforcement, free from my own judgments and political assessments in some cases. And I don't know why I would stop now.
So he just did his job and the law enforcement agencies did theirs. He didn't meddle. He wasn't really concerned about it. This is 8 months after he, on public national television in the United States, he said that Hillary Clinton did not commit a crime. This was while the investigation was going on. This was while the FBI was investigating Hillary Clinton and the email scandal. And he said on national TV, there's no crime. He's the boss. He's the president. And of course, Jim Comey and the others, they took that cue and concluded even before they interviewed her that she wouldn't be indicted. Furthermore, if you look at the text messages, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, one that they sent on September 2nd, 2016, this was regarding the Trump-Russia investigation, this counterintelligence investigation that later became the Bob Mueller Council, or probe. One of them texted, because POTUS, that's the President of the United States, he wants to know everything that we're doing. These are FBI officials texting one another saying that President Barack Obama wants to know everything that we're doing. Even before that, August 5th, 2016, one of them texted, the White House is running this. They got the warrant to spy on Carter Page in October of 2016. So President Trump wins, and that just turns everything on its head. Then all of a sudden, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that Russia interfered and helped Donald Trump. Right at the end of the year, you remember President Obama, he expelled those 35 Russian diplomats. You see, now it's serious. But you look at all of this in hindsight. This is all part of the hoax. This is the lead up then to the big meeting, January 5th. He orders the review. He orders the investigation in a full review into the Russian election hacking. That was on December 9th. They're already done with it on January 5th. They had to, because it had to be finished before Obama left office so that they could keep the investigation going. So you know about the January 5th meeting. Obama's there with Vice President Biden, and then all the intelligence officials, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, the intelligence community, and they're there briefing President Barack Obama about Russian interference. The New Yorker reported later on saying that the main purpose of the Oval Office meeting was to run through a startling report the U.S. intelligence chiefs were about to release to the public. Now it's startling. Now it's shocking. They're shocked. And, of course, the thing about this meeting is that they were attaching this synopsis of the dossier. That was tacked on. And one of them was going to have to clue in President-elect Donald Trump. So they had the meeting with the intel group January 5th. And then there was another meeting following that same day. With not the intelligence community, but with the law enforcement agencies. Barack Obama, imagine that. Meeting with FBI and DOJ officials. The same one who says, I've been pretty scrupulous about keeping clear of their investigations. And then, of course, all this led into the meeting that Comey had with Donald Trump the next day, January the 6th. But going back to these meetings, Comey, of course, he's had his book tour. McCabe's had his book tour. Jim Clapper's had his book tour. They've all written their books. They're all proud of what they did to keep the investigation going, or at least they were when they wrote their books. On Comey's book tour, he was sitting down with George Stephanopoulos, and he's talking about how that during these crucial meetings, right before the transition over to a new president, you had Director Clapper there explaining to the president, to the vice president, about this additional material, the Steele dossier, in other words, and how it was just particularly salacious. And this is George Stephanopoulos talking about it with Jim Comey, clip 16.
President Obama asked, what's the plan for briefing that material? We had decided that Director Comey would meet with the president-elect privately after we briefed the president-elect and his team on the general findings so that he could review it in a more private, more sensitive setting with the president-elect.
That was James Clapper. How did President Obama respond to that?
He didn't say a word. President Obama has a great poker face, but he simply turned So if I'm President Obama, he turned slightly to his left, looked at me, and went like this, and then looked back at Director Clapper. So it kind of gave me a Groucho Marx, is how I thought about it, double eyebrow raise, didn't say a word, but communicated to me at least, and I could be misreading it because I don't know President Obama's eyebrow raises, that sort of a sympathy and concern, like good luck with that.
That's the way Comey remembers Obama's involvement in going to Donald Trump to discuss the contents of the Steele dossier. The unverified content, no truth to it. That's another revelation from Bob Mueller's report, or at least the summary that came from it, from William Barr on Sunday, is that it thoroughly discredits the Steele dossier. The Steele dossier is what got all of this started. They had to tack that on to this so-called explosive assessment coming from the CIA, coming from U.S. intelligence. They had to tack on the dossier because that's how they wanted the media to run with this, to keep the investigations going. So they have the follow-on meeting the same day, January the 5th. Here's Obama now with the Deputy Attorney General, Sally Yates. Susan Rice was there. Yates, you'll remember, was fired just a week and a half, 2 weeks later. Susan Rice is the one who then sent that email to herself 15 days later, I think it was, to say that, well, just remember, we did everything by the book. That's what got most of the attention, that email. But as Andy McCarthy said about that revelation, she's emailing this to her government email account the day of the inauguration. So it wasn't to remind, this was an account that was about to be closed down any moment, because she was moving out. She emailed herself on the day of President Trump's inauguration to provide cover, to establish her narrative that, well, yeah, Obama was there with, he was there with law enforcement officials, but he just told them everything needs to be done by the book. He just wanted everything to be above board, everything to be according to the law. Andy McCarthy said, we might counter that people who have lived by the book for 8 years would not have to remind each other to go by the book. It would be without saying. So this is what Rice emailed to herself. President Obama said he wants to be sure that as we engage with the incoming team, we are mindful to ascertain if there is any reason that we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia. That's the statement that McCarthy drew attention to. Forget about by the book. Here they are talking to themselves about what they can and cannot reveal to the incoming president. And of course, what they couldn't reveal to him was that he was at the center of the investigation. Pretty amazing. So Comey goes in there to talk to President-elect Trump the next day, tells them about the salacious contents of the dossier. Here's how McCarthy summarizes this meeting. It says, since Trump would have the power to shut down the investigation, the trick was to avoid making him feel threatened by it. Therefore, the strategy was to withhold information that illustrated Trump's centrality to the investigation, assure him that he was not a suspect, and gently admonish him about the need to respect law enforcement's independence. You see, he did that, President Trump. Never mind what all of his critics have been saying for 2 years. He's going to fire Mueller. He's going to do this. We've got to take action. We've got to prevent this from happening. President Trump, he let it play out. It was Obama, Barack Obama, who was meddling in the election, in the investigation of Hillary Clinton, and also in the counterintelligence investigation. You go back, and as I say, Kimberly Strassel brings this out. Now that the probe is over, we need to go back and look at how all this got started in the first place. McCarthy says that's why Comey kept deflecting Trump's entreaties that Comey tell the public Trump was not a suspect. You'll remember that. Donald Trump said, please tell the American people, okay, if you need to go on with your investigation, fine, but tell them I'm not being investigated. And Comey wouldn't do it. He would not do it. Furthermore, they wouldn't reveal all of the contents of this investigation. Remember, they're getting together deciding. Susan Rice's email says it. They're getting together to decide what it is they can reveal to President Trump and what it is that they can't reveal to him. Now, going back to this interview that he had with George Stephanopoulos, Jim Comey, this is from April of last year, just a little less than a year ago. Listen to this, clip 17.
Did you tell him that the Steele dossier had been financed by his political opponents?
No. I didn't even think I used the term Steele dossier. I just talked about additional material.
But did he have a right to know that?
That had been financed by his political opponents? I don't know the answer to that. It wasn't necessary for my goal, which was to alert him that we had this information.
Did the incoming president of the United States, did he have the right to know all of the facts about this dossier and this investigation? No, I don't really think that he did. Now look at that in hindsight. Look at what some, at least a few, not enough, but a few honest reporters are saying, we got it wrong and we should have been more careful about verifying these facts. Or in this case, this salacious gossip. They wouldn't even tell Donald Trump about the source of the dossier. They didn't tell the FISA courts about the source. This is incredible, this history. Go back and look at the beginning, like Kim Strassel says. So he brings up the salacious content, and that's the hook. Remember, that's the hook that the media needed to run with the story, to run with the dossier. On January the 7th, this is the day after, Director Comey met with President-elect Trump. He emailed the senior FBI leadership. He's talking about his meeting with Mr. Trump. I said there was something that Clapper wanted me to speak to the president-elect about alone or in a very small group. I then extended the session exactly as I had planned. I said media like CNN had them and were looking for a news hook. Media like CNN had the dossier, and they were looking for a news hook. So he dutifully went and told the president about this. The president, of course, the president-elect, in the dark as to the fact that the meeting itself with Comey was the hook. So January the 8th, the next day, this is after Comey's email, then FBI Deputy Director, this is Andy McCabe. He emailed some of the senior leadership in the FBI saying that a flood is coming. He said CNN is going forward with the sensitive story. The trigger for them is they know the material from the dossier was discussed in the brief and presented in an attachment. That's from an email Andy McCabe sent to FBI officials on January the 8th, 2017, gleefully noting that CNN's about to run with this story about the salacious gossip. That's from January the 8th. Same day, he emailed Sally Yates. Subject line news. McCabe said, just an FYI, and as expected, it seems CNN is close to running a story about the sensitive reporting. How does McCabe know all of this? How does Sally Yates, how does Jim Comey, how do they know what the media are up to? How do they know what CNN's about to do? Gives us a little insight into all of these leaks, the constant, nonstop leaking that went on in the early months of the Trump presidency. Well, CNN did, in fact, run with the story. The bombshell report, January the 10th, 2017. They had a printed version. They had a video version. The printed version was by Evan Perez, Jim Sciutto, Jake Tapper, and Carl Bernstein. CNN ran the story the same day that BuzzFeed, of course, printed the entirety of the dossier. CNN wrote an article about it, and then they had the breaking news segment. This is January the 10th, 2017. Here's clip 9.
CNN has learned that the nation's top intelligence officials provided information to President-elect Donald Trump and to President Barack Obama last week about claims of Russian efforts to compromise President-elect Trump. The information was provided as part of last week's classified intelligence briefings regarding Russian efforts to undermine the U.S. elections.
That, of course, is Jake Tapper. He's with a panel of speakers, those who contributed to the CNN article. And he hands it over then to CNN reporter Jim Sciutto. So here's Jim Sciutto, clip 10.
Your multiple U.S. officials with direct knowledge of the briefings tell CNN that classified documents on Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. election presented last week to President Obama and to President-elect Trump included allegations that Russian operatives claimed to have compromising personal and financial information about Mr. Trump. The allegations were part of a two-page synopsis. These were based on memos compiled by a former British intelligence operative whose past work U.S. intelligence officials consider credible.
That's Jim Sciutto saying the work of Christopher Steele and Glenn Simpson and others who contributed, the work was incredible. This was credible intelligence. Now that's a little over 2 years ago, and here today the Russian collusion narrative, it's been thoroughly debunked. What an embarrassment. All of this coverage, breathlessly reported from CNN, BuzzFeed, and then everyone else hopped on board and ran with it as well. There was a report yesterday. This is what got my attention because it was Jim Sciutto. Just yesterday. Now, some politicians, not enough of them, as I say, but some are backtracking. And then you have reporters. They're not wanting to take the blame for themselves and what they did. So they're now questioning Democrats. Well, shouldn't you have come forward with more facts before you started saying this, this, and this? This is Jim Sciutto grilling the Democratic representative Karen Bass over the evidence of collusion. He's basically saying, shouldn't you have backed it up? Listen to this exchange, clip 7.
So first, let me begin on the general question. The special counsel has cleared the president on the most central question of this investigation, and that is, did he or his advisors collude, cooperate, conspire with Russia to interfere in the election? Did Democrats, in your view, unfairly hang that allegation over his head without evidence sufficient to support it?
No, I don't believe that we did at all.
Did Democrats, he said, unfairly hang that allegation over his head without evidence sufficient to support it? CNN, that's Jim Sciutto of CNN, who was part of the breaking news story on January the 10th, 2017. The story that unfairly hung the allegation on Donald Trump's head for more than 2 years. Listen again to Jim Sciutto just yesterday in this exchange. This is just his comment this time, clip 8.
If you're demanding the full Mueller report, isn't it only fair to say, well, if Democrats are saying there's significant evidence that we have, we're holding close to our vest, I mean, to back it up, if you're making a public allegation, shouldn't the public see that as well?
That's Jim Sciutto saying, look, if you're demanding a full report, well, shouldn't you back up what your demands are with evidence? So there's not a lot of remorse. There's certainly not much repentance. There's a little bit of backtracking among Democrats, among those who were in Obama's deep state, among a few in the media, but not nearly enough. Incredibly, there's some that are out there still congratulating themselves. The media, if you can believe it. After all of this shame, after all of this embarrassment, Listen to Carl Bernstein again on CNN yesterday, clip six.
And I think we've done, the media, the press has done one of the great reporting jobs in the history, especially of covering a presidency by the most news organizations. And look, let's look at where the disinformation and mistakes and lying have come from. Hasn't come from the press. It's come from the President of the United States and those around him.
No change, no remorse, no repentance. In the background, you heard Brian Stelter saying, the lies from Trump. Okay, yeah. That's interesting. That's yesterday. That's yesterday, following the news from Attorney General William Barr, summarizing the Mueller probe, the 22-month-long Mueller probe. I went through it yesterday, all of the hundreds of witnesses, the subpoenas, thousands, all the evidence, the 19 prosecutors, the four FBI agents, seeking information from 13 foreign governments. A dark, dark cloud hanging over the Trump administration for more than 2 years. And here he is, one of their own, Carl Bernstein, saying, hey, I think this is one of the great reporting jobs in the history of covering a president. The New York Times and the Washington Post, they won a Pulitzer Prize for their coverage on Trump-Russia collusion. It was a hoax from the beginning. And they award themselves. They see it as award-winning coverage. 2 years on, here you have, now that the facts on the ground are a whole lot different, now you have Jim Sciutto saying, well, hey, shouldn't you back up what you're saying with facts? What about Jim Sciutto and Jake Tapper backing up what they're saying on January the 10th, 2017 with facts? Following that report on CNN, you had the meeting with Obama on the 5th of January. You had the meeting with President-elect Trump on the 6th. Then you had the breaking news on January the 10th. And then the very next day, January the 11th, James Clapper's office released this statement about these bombshell allegations on CNN. He said, this evening, I had the opportunity to speak with President-elect Donald Trump to discuss recent media reports about our briefing last Friday. I expressed my profound dismay at the leaks that have been appearing in the press, and we both agreed that they are extremely corrosive and damaging to our national security. James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, he's shocked and dismayed that the content of these meetings on January the 5th and the 6th, that they could have been leaked to CNN. Clapper said, we also discussed the private security company document, which was widely circulated in recent months among the media, members of Congress, and congressional staff, even before the IC became aware of it. I emphasized that this document, he's speaking of the Steele dossier, this document is not a U.S. intelligence community project, and that I do not believe the leaks came from within the intelligence community. But he's outraged. He's outraged. James Clapper, this is the official announcement from January the 11th. Did you know that Clapper's the one that leaked the story to CNN? Clapper now works for CNN. He's the leaker. And he has the audacity the day after the leak happens to then write a formal statement and to call President-elect Trump and say, I can't believe it. During a House Intel Committee hearing in July of 2017, one of the congressmen asked Mr. Clapper, did you discuss the dossier or any other intelligence related to Russia hacking of the 2016 election with journalists? And Clapper's response before the House committee was no. No, I didn't discuss it with anyone. This quote's from the House Intelligence Committee report. Following this investigation, It says, when initially asked about leaks related to the dossier in July 2017, former Director of National Intelligence Clapper flatly denied discussing the dossier or any other intelligence related to Russia, Russia hacking of the 2016 election with journalists. Clapper subsequently acknowledged discussing the dossier with CNN journalist Jake Tapper. He's one of the four that broke the story. So Clapper said, no, I didn't leak. Then later he had to come and admit it. He leaked the story. The story appeared on January the 10th. Clapper releases a statement the next day. I can't believe it. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump. I don't know who would do this. I can't imagine it's anyone in the intelligence community. It says Clapper subsequently acknowledged discussing the dossier with CNN journalist Jake Tapper and admitted that he might have spoken with other journalists about the same topic. He was leaking all over the place. Clapper's discussion with Tapper took place in early January 2017, around the time IC leaders briefed President Obama and President-elect Trump on the Christopher Steele information. You see, it was all a setup. It was all a setup. Directed by the president himself, the president was right in those meetings, both of them on January the 5th. Then he kind of smiles or smirks at James Comey. You've got the job to tell the president-elect the next day. Good luck with that. Susan Rice emails herself later. Now, we did everything by the book, but we did have to discuss, you know, what we could give to President-elect Trump and what we couldn't. Because, after all, we're the intelligence community. We're the law enforcement agencies. And those aren't to meddle with the president, so said Barack Obama. James Clapper, yesterday, he's backpedaled ever so slightly. But in this exchange that he had on CNN, he says, I don't have any regrets. Clip one.
In terms of, you know, things you have said on television subsequently, just over, you know, I don't know, however long you've been talking on television, do you regret anything you have said in terms of raising questions about the president's behavior or some of the things the president has done or said?
No, I don't. And I have put that in writing in my book as well. I have concerns, and as do others, and I have tried to be factual and temperate and moderate about it, but I do have concerns, and no, I don't have any regrets.
He still has concerns about Trump, and he doesn't have any regrets. Doesn't regret lying to the House Intel Committee. He doesn't regret sending out that statement, that public statement about how outraged he was that there were leaks in his own department and that he was the leaker. No regrets. That's what you just heard there is about as close as you're going to get to an apology from these Obama-era officials. Listen to John Brennan, same thing yesterday. Here's him talking about how he got it wrong constantly. This is clip three.
Well, I don't know if I received bad information, but I think I suspected that there was more than there actually was. And I am relieved that it's been determined that there was not a criminal conspiracy with the Russian government over our election. I think that is good news for the country. And so I still point to things that were done publicly or efforts to try to have conversations with the Russians that were inappropriate. But I'm not all that surprised that the high bar of criminal conspiracy was not met. I am surprised at that second part of the obstruction of justice in terms of how it came out. I don't know whether or not Bob Mueller wanted the attorney general to pronounce on that issue, or whether or not Bob Mueller felt that it would be best for Congress and American people to determine whether the weight of the information indicates that Donald Trump did try to obstruct justice. So there are some surprises there, and that's why I think getting to the full Mueller report is the best way to get some of these, if not all of these questions, answered.
That was in response to Anderson Cooper asking him, you know, regarding all of your statements, you said the president's guilty of treason. You said he's going to jail. Regarding all of these things, what happened? Did you get bad information? And he said right there at the start, I don't know if I received bad information. No, because he was the one sending the information out. He came out with the secret CIA assessment. December 9th, 2016. Russia helped Donald Trump. He was out there actively promoting the Steele dossier. That was his information. And so here it's completely and thoroughly debunked. These reporters who won't repent themselves, but at least they're speaking to Democrats and giving them the opportunity to set the record straight. None of them will do it. Just 2 weeks ago, Brennan was saying there's going to be more indictments, and they're coming on Donald Trump's family. This is clip four.
I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, this week on Friday, not knowing anything about it, but Friday is the day that the grand jury indictments come down. And also this Friday is better than next Friday because next Friday is the 15th of March, which is the Ides of March. And I don't think Robert Mueller will want to have that dramatic flair of the Ides of March when he is going to be delivering what I think are going to be his indictments, the final indictments, as well as the report that he gives to the Attorney General.
The final indictments. He's not going to do it on the Ides of March because, well, that would be too dramatic. But boy, this is going to be dramatic. And there's going to be some grand jury indictments coming along with the report. And then he speaks more specifically to Donald Trump and his family, clip five.
But I do think also if anybody from the Trump family, an extended family, is going to be indicted, it would be in the final act of Mueller's investigation, because Bob Mueller and I think his team knows that if he were to do something, indicting a Trump family member, or if he were to go forward with indictment on criminal conspiracy involving U.S. persons, that would basically be the death knell of the special counsel's office, because I don't believe that Donald Trump would allow Bob Mueller to continue in the aftermath of those types of actions.
In other words, Mueller has to hand out the really serious indictments there at the last, because if he did it any earlier, well, Donald Trump would just shut down the investigation and that would be the end of it. They just got it all. They got all their prognostications wrong. Their lies are being exposed. The hoax thoroughly debunked. The narrative, collusion, collusion, collusion. Not an ounce of humility. No repentance. Nothing. Did you get bad information? No. No, I got good information. Well, how do you explain the Mueller report? Well, I mean, I think we need to read the full report. And after all, there still is obstruction. There's some other options here. That's their thinking. That's their thinking. It's like I said yesterday. It's nonstop. It will never end until they take down Donald Trump. My father said in America Under Attack, that would be a good book to review, by the way. Because really, when you look at what's covered in that book, first written in 2013, all the bits about the media swooning around Barack Obama, everything that we've seen in the last 2 years really should not be that surprising. Because if they all thought Obama was God, and one of them actually called him God, compared him to God himself, if they think Obama is God, then what are they going to think about President Obama's opponent? Well, he's Hitler. He's the devil. He's every other madman that you can think of or compare him to in history. And so their goal is to destroy this presidency. My father wrote in the New Throne booklet, he refers to President Donald Trump, who says that his administration is under siege. And that's true. Of course, the siege is, it goes beyond just the White House. But the president has been right all along. Nothing but a hoax, nothing but harassment. He met with Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, yesterday in the White House. And he followed through on his tweet from last week with the official statement to recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Prime Minister Netanyahu said that there's no greater friend of Israel than the United States. Israel's just ecstatic at this president following through on some of his campaign promises. After their meeting, the press, as they always do, bombarded him with questions. And listen to what President Trump had to say about the Mueller probe and all the revelations from the past couple of days. Clip 11.
There are a lot of people out there that have done some very, very evil things, very bad things. I would say treasonous things against our country. And hopefully that people that have done such harm to our country, we've gone through a period of really bad things happening. Those people will certainly be looked at. I've been looking at them for a long time, and I'm saying, why haven't they been looked at? They lied to Congress. Many of them, you know who they are. They've done so many evil things.
Here again, it's just spot on with what my father said about him recognizing a lot of the evil. It's not going to solve all of the problems, but he certainly sees the treasonous activity that's gone on. And that point where he said we've gone through a period of really bad things, that's where he turned and looked over at Prime Minister Netanyahu. And he tells this other world leader, it's been pretty bad here. There's some evil people that have been coming after my administration. I've seen it. I've been looking at it for a long time. And I've wondered, why haven't they been looked at? Why haven't they been investigated? That's what we asked on yesterday's program. President Trump went on to say this, clip 12.
I will tell you, I love this country. I love this country as much as I can love anything. My family, my country, my God. But what they did, it was a false narrative. It was a terrible thing. We can never let this happen to another president again. I can tell you that. I say it very strongly. Very few people I know could have handled it. We can never, ever let this happen to another president again.
Some strong words there at the end of that exchange with the press. It's a terrible thing that's happened, and we can't let this happen again. And so, even if it's ever so slight, you are beginning to see some backpedaling. Not near enough. But for the first time in years, you're beginning to see some of these top Obama-era officials start to squirm. They don't look quite as confident as they once did. The smirk is no longer there. Now there's a little more nervousness. Ben Rhodes, he was on one of the networks, CNN or MSNBC. He was, of course, Barack Obama's top aide, one of them. He was the one, if you remember, that came up with the false narrative to sell the Iran deal. He was the one who proudly said, you just have to create an echo chamber, and then you can kind of pull experts out of the woodwork that'll tell the media and the people what you want them to hear. It doesn't need to be the truth. And the New Yorker, remember, or the New York Times Sunday Review, I forget which publication it was, but they were saying this may be the wave of the future as far as foreign policy, domestic policy, all that is concerned. And if I recall, I think that article, the author even did voice some concern, but what happens if it's an administration that isn't like the Obama administration? Well, the tables have certainly turned. That's not to say that the Trump administration is out there creating all these false narratives, but they're certainly shining some light on some very evil, evil behavior. Treasonous things, said the president yesterday. Well, here's Ben Rhodes defending himself and the Obama administration, clip 13.
We're setting a pretty low bar in this country if we treat this entire episode as some exoneration of Trump. What do we know? We know Russia intervened in our election to help Trump. We know that Trump associates were more than willing to solicit that help, including Donald Trump, in front of the entire nation on camera. We know, as you said, that there were countless meetings with Russians that don't normally take place during a political campaign. And we know that the president's national security advisor and former campaign chairman have been charged and in some cases convicted of crimes, right? So we've definitely moved the goalposts in this country if somehow the sum total of those events is a positive development for Trump.
So that's someone saying that he's still a Russian spy. We know Russia intervened in our election to help Trump. That much we know. That's what John Brennan established on November the 9th. Before December 9th, 2016, no one from either side had said that Russia was effectively meddling in the election and influencing in one direction or the other. Causing instability, meddling, yes. Causing us to lose faith in the electoral process, yes. But actually tilting the scales in the direction of their favored candidate, that came from the secret CIA assessment, December 9th, 2016. So the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, that's now been revealed, the fact that it's a hoax. The narrative is thoroughly debunked, but still you see Ben Rhodes hanging on to the fact, hey, we know Russia intervened to help Donald Trump. And then he refers to Donald Trump, the joke on the campaign trail about Vladimir Putin having all of Hillary Clinton's emails. And then all of the meetings with Russians. One final bit from Ben Rhodes yesterday, clip 14.
I should also add the Republican hypocrisy here is completely laughable. You will recall when Jim Comey did not recommend charges against Hillary Clinton, that was still treated as a giant problem for Hillary Clinton by the Republicans and as a cause for further investigation of Hillary Clinton. They will want to investigate Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration for as long as they have a pulse, Andrea. And the fact of the matter is here, if you really cared about the security of the United States, you would be focused on that counterintelligence question. And you would be focused on, again, even if there's not a criminal conspiracy established, why it is that this president has embraced Vladimir Putin, why it is that Vladimir Putin is so interested in helping this president. That should be of greater concern than relitigating absurd right-wing conspiracy theories about the Clintons or about the Obama administration.
To me, that clip is someone that's just a little bit nervous. They're going to want to investigate Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration for as long as they have a pulse. And it's been just the opposite, right? They let Hillary off the hook and have been investigating. I played those clips yesterday. 17 more investigations. 47. But that's Ben Rhodes saying, look, keep the focus on the counterintelligence investigation. Keep the focus on why this president has embraced Vladimir Putin. Don't let them distract you, please. They're worried. They're worried about what's being exposed at the Wall Street Journal, the editorial board. This morning they said, the Steele dossier looks like one of the nastiest, dirty tricks in political history. And its authors and promoters should be held accountable. There's quite a few voices, loud ones at that, coming forward with that kind of a message. Before this past weekend, there were a handful of commentators and authors, and we've quoted from some of them on this program, The Federalist and the reporters that Sean Hannity leans on a fair bit, others in talk radio. But now, it's a little bit different. And now you've got the president saying, we need to do something to make sure that this doesn't happen to another president. I never would have believed it a year or two ago that maybe some of these evildoers will be held to account. And I guess we'll still have to wait and see. But a lot of evil is certainly being exposed. In America Under Attack, my father said, this is the big goal of the devil and his demons. They're out to bring Israel down. To bring Israel down, whether spiritual or physical. What happened in the church shows you something of a blueprint for what Satan began to do in these nations. what we saw happen, total destruction of the worldwide Church of God. That was Satan's aim here from the beginning. Here comes America under attack in 2013. All the sections in there about reporters just swooning around Barack Obama. And my father talked about how, is that rational? Is this logical? I don't have time to get into John 8 and Revelation 12, but we're certainly seeing lots and lots of proof of Satan's influence on our society, in our nations, in our governments, in the top tier of governments, at the DOJ, at the FBI. All roads, as far as this goes, all roads lead back to Barack Obama, the Antiochus administration. It's like Kimberly Strassel said in that Wall Street Journal piece. Now that the probe has ended, the Russia-Trump collusion probe, it's time to go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the documents that explain the origin. Piece it together and come to understand the full story of the Russia collusion narrative. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.